So, in our last week here at Summer Yaf, it's also going to be our last week in the Sermon on the Mount. We've made it through most of the sermon. We're now in the last section of Matthew 7. So I want to, tonight, just take some time to unpack this, to share some thoughts. In a lot of ways, it doesn't summarize the rest of the sermon, but these are Jesus's concluding remarks. This is what he wants to leave people with. And so this is where we're going to end tonight and what I want to leave you with as we wrap up the summer and move into the fall. So the verses that we're going to be looking at are Matthew 7, 13 through the end of the chapter, verse 29. And we've got several different kind of sections in here that seem kind of unrelated, some similar things, some different things, some common sections. And they really all tie together as Jesus is trying to bring this sermon to a close. And as Matthew writes what Jesus has spoken, as Matthew tries to capture the things that Jesus wants to leave us with. So we're going to walk through this passage, these verses, in a few different sections, just trying to see some of what Jesus is doing here, and to take with us a few things as we bring the Sermon to the Mount to a close. Sermon on the Mount to a close. So, I'm going to start reading, and like I said, take it a few verses at a time and unpack this a bit together. So, starting in verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." So up to this point in the sermon, as we've been tracking with what Jesus has been doing, he's been laying out for us the ethics of the kingdom of God. What does it look like to live in a way that is consistent with God's will for our lives? What does it look like to exemplify kingdom values in our lives and in our actions? This is what Jesus has been unpacking. And now, at this point in the sermon, he was wanting to set up for us the fact that after we've heard these things, after we've understood what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God, to walk in the way of Jesus, that we have come to a decision point. We've come to a decision point, a fork in the road, and he says there's two gates, and there's two roads, and there's two destinations. One gate is a big gate, the road is an easy road, and the destination is destruction. One is a narrow gate, and it's a hard road, but it's the road that leads to life. And Jesus urges us to enter the narrow gate, to enter the narrow gate, to walk down the hard road, because this is the road that leads to life. This is the road that brings us to God, brings us into the kingdom of God, this narrow gate, this hard road. When I was younger, I used to be really claustrophobic. I think it came from this one incident where I thought I was trapped in an elevator. I wasn't actually trapped in an elevator, but it did get, like, stuck between floors, and I couldn't get out for a little bit. And I was pretty convinced I was going to die in this elevator. So it scarred me, and for a number of years, I was very claustrophobic and hated small spaces. Wouldn't ride in elevators at all, and just anything that was a small space made me anxious. So now I've mostly gotten over my claustrophobia, but when I hear about a wide road and a narrow road, I like the idea of some space. You know, it feels a little more freeing. For you guys who watch Seinfeld, maybe you saw the episode where Kramer adopts the section of the highway, and he decides that his section of the highway is going to be the best section of the highway, and instead of having two lanes, he just gets rid of the lane divider, so you have one extra wide luxury lane. This is his brilliant plan. And that's the kind of road that I like to be on, right? You got lots of room to move around. You can swerve a little bit. You can take your time. You can meander. That feels like freedom, right? It's not so narrow. It's not so restrictive. It's not so confining. The way that Jesus describes these two roads makes it feel like one is a lot more appealing than the other, right? The wide gate, the easy road, that sounds like the one that we want to be on. But he tells us that road actually leads to destruction. That it can't follow through on its promises, that the end result is not actually what we're looking for. But the narrow gate, the hard road, following this way that Jesus has just instructed us in, that's going to be the road that leads to life. It's the narrow gate, it's the hard road that is actually the road that leads to freedom. A few years back, I was driving from LA, actually all the way up to Minnesota, and on the way, I was with my dad. We were driving on I-15, goes through California, cuts through Nevada and Arizona and up into Utah. And there's this one section that I went back and tried to figure out what this was. I think it's the Virgin River Gorge. I think I was like trying to figure out where I was and what this was. It's the spot where this river has carved through this mountain. And as we were approaching this, we didn't know it was coming. And the road is going this way, and the mountains are over here, and it was totally flat where we were. And we're looking at these mountains over here thinking, man, it'd be really cool if we could get closer to the mountains. They're still quite a ways away. And probably half an hour passed by, and the road had turned, and it was headed right towards these mountains. And as we got closer, really, it looked like it was just this like solid wall that we were approaching. And pretty soon we're a few miles away, and then we're a mile away, and we're expecting that the highway is going to turn to go around this, what looked like just a wall. But as we got closer, we saw that there was, in fact, a gorge that was cutting through the mountain. This river was going, and there was a highway right next to it. And as we got in, the walls just shot up hundreds of feet on both sides. And it felt like you could just reach out and touch the cliff. That's how close it was. And it was amazingly narrow. And as I was approaching this, as I saw that the road was going to go through here, I started having flashbacks to that elevator. Like, ooh, that looks a little tight. Like, I'm not sure I really want to be in this small space. But as we got in there, so about a mile through this gorge, it was the most beautiful thing that we came across in our drive from California to Minnesota. There was something about the narrowness that created this beauty that just wasn't there in the open. When we had all the space that we wanted to go wherever we wanted, that wasn't there. There was something beautiful about this narrowness, where yes, we didn't have as much freedom, but there was a beauty in this kind of restriction. And that's the road that Jesus is describing here. It is a narrow road. He's just laid out for us a lot of things that could feel restrictive, could feel limiting. You want me to do what? You want me to practice what kind of honesty? And you want me to behave this way in regards to my sexual purity, and you want me to treat my money this way, and you want me to do this and this and this and all of these things, and it could feel restrictive. And it is restrictive in a sense that there's a relatively narrow band of behaviors that the Lord wants us to live in. But what we find as we do that, as we go through the narrow gate, as we walk down the hard road, that there's actually a beauty in the narrowness. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Not that we can do whatever we want, not that we can go wherever we want to go, but then when we follow the way of Jesus, that there's a kind of beauty and a security and a wonder, and ultimately, this is the road that leads to life. So going through a narrow gate, walking down a hard road, is not a bad thing, right? We shouldn't wish that it was otherwise. We should actually embrace that because of the beauty that we find in the gospel, the beauty that we find in this narrowness. But I think we oftentimes wish that there was some kind of a middle way, right? Jesus has just described these two roads. Oftentimes, I think we wish that there was a kind of middle way, right? Yes, we don't, the wide road, the easy, well, that leads to destruction. That's not really what we're going for, but sometimes the narrow road feels a little bit too narrow. It feels a little bit too hard. And we wish that there was some kind of middle way where we could pick and choose what we want from the things that Jesus says, and then we could pick and choose what we want from what we see in the world around us, and we could kind of bring them together into the kind of life that we feel like is best for us, the kind of ethics that we think best fit us in this place and in this time. And we just kind of pick and choose what we want from the Bible and pick and choose what we want from culture and try to make this middle road. But that's not an option that Jesus gives to us. He says there's two roads. One is wide, one's narrow. And by implication, if you're not on the narrow road, you're on the wide road. You're not in between the two. There is no in between. You're either walking in the way of Jesus or you're walking in the way of the world. And so he urges us, he encourages us to enter by the narrow gate. And then as he goes on, he identifies for us a few barriers, a few obstacles to walking on the narrow road, on the hard road. He starts in verse 15, which is harder to read at this point in the summer than it has been in the summer up to this point. I'll try. I'll let you know if I need that. Thank you. The first warning is going to be a warning against false prophets, which seems like it maybe doesn't apply a lot to us today, but I think we're going to find it actually does. So let's see what he says. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So as Jesus urges us to walk down the narrow road, he says, but beware. Beware of false prophets. Now, in the Old Testament, there are a lot of false prophets. And false prophets were all kind of the same. At least there was a theme among the false prophets. A lot of what the false prophets were doing were they were denying God's judgment, right? They were denying the destruction at the end of the narrow road. And in fact, they were kind of getting rid of this whole wide and narrow road idea, right? They would do exactly what I was talking about in this middle road. They would take some things from God and they would say, okay, this we want to do. But then they would also take things from the culture around them, and they would worship the gods and the idols around them, and they would come up with this kind of syncretistic religion, denying all the while that that's actually going to lead to destruction, that God actually would judge. And they would say, don't worry, judgment is not coming. No, the Lord will not bring evil on you for this or for that. And so I think these are the kind of false prophets that Jesus has in mind here. The kind of thinking, the kind of teaching, the kind of message that says, you know, don't worry about that hard road. Don't worry about that narrow gate. In fact, you just kind of do what you want, because this road isn't really going to lead to destruction. There's no real destruction. We're all going to be fine in the end. Kind of sounds like our world, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like the message that we hear in our culture and in our churches sometimes. That God is a God of love. That he would not bring judgment against us. That he would not create a way that leads to destruction. That he wouldn't do that kind of thing. And if he's not going to do that kind of thing, then when the hard road gets hard, you just jump over to the easy road. Because it's really just leading to the same place. Jesus says, no. Beware of the false prophets. Beware of the false teachers. Don't listen to that kind of thing. Don't be taken in on that kind of lie. There are two roads. Stay on the narrow road. And he tells us that this message from the false prophets is hard to recognize because they're like wolves who look like sheep, right? They look like the rest of us. They look kind and loving and gentle, and yet ultimately they are vicious. They're against us. Why? Because the message that they teach is one that ultimately is going to lead to destruction. And the way that we know these people, the way that we can identify these people, Jesus says, is by their fruit. That ultimately, a person's character, a person's actions, a person's words are going to reveal whether in fact they are truly on the way of Jesus or whether they are just a voice from the easy road that's trying to call you over, trying to dissuade you of staying the course. Trying to say, you know, it's not going to be so bad. Why don't you just do this? This is what feels good now. This is the easy part. This is fun. Jesus says, you're going to know these people by their fruit. That ultimately, they will not have the kind of lives that Jesus has just got done describing. That they will prove that they are not actually walking on the narrow road, on the way of Jesus. So he warns us against this kind of thinking. And this is a warning, again, that's geared towards other people. Which is interesting because he's already told us, don't judge. Right? We looked at that before. But here, this is a kind of judgment. Right? It's a kind of looking and evaluating, but I would call it more discernment than judgment. Right? We're trying to discern what messages we're listening to. Are we listening to the culture around us without bringing those messages to Scripture to see if they hold up? Are we listening to the voices in the world around us instead of listening to the voice of Jesus? Jesus wants us to listen to his voice so that we're not taken in by these other voices that would pull us off the narrow path. The next warning comes in the next set of verses, and it's kind of a two-part warning that takes up the rest of Jesus' words here in the sermon. And this is a warning not against other people, not beware of them, but beware of yourself. Beware of yourself. And this is what Jesus says. Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many marvelous works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" This passage used to really, really scare me. That what if one day I got here before Jesus, and he asked me to give an account of my life, and I talk about the things that I've done for him, and he says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." That's scary. And I think it's supposed to be scary because this is a warning. Jesus doesn't want us to get into this situation. He doesn't want us to be this person. But who is this person? How do we know that we're not this person? If this is a warning against ourselves, how do we make sure that this isn't us that Jesus is talking about? Well, what's the kind of things that Jesus says here? He's painting a picture of somebody who knows how to say and to do all of the right things. Who comes to Jesus, and this is a very impressive list of things. "Did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?" I mean, this is not just like, didn't I go to church once a week and, you know, I came to Yaf on Thursdays when I could, you know. No, this is big stuff. Casting out demons in the name of Jesus. But what Jesus comes back with is not the things that you did weren't good enough or you were you didn't have enough faith to do the thing, the big things that I really wanted you to do. What he comes back with is, I never knew you. He doesn't deny that this person was doing good things. And even looking to God for those things. I think we could think that this is a sincere person. That they were trying to do the will of God. But that's actually the thing that trips them up. Is that they're trying to do, and they're trying to do, and they're trying to do. And Jesus says, before you do, I want you to know me. I want you to know me. I don't want you to go about doing all of these things for me. I don't want you to go saying all of these things in my name. What I want, first and foremost, is to know you. And so the warning here is to make sure that we haven't deceived ourselves into thinking that we know God just because we do good things. Just because we do good things for Him. But to stop and to say, do I really know God? Do I have a relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship with Jesus in which I talk to Him and He talks to me and I listen to Him and we do life together where I trust in Him, I put my faith in Him? Do we have that kind of relationship with Jesus, or are we just focused on all the things that we're doing for Jesus? Jesus says, if that's the case, we may get to the end and He's going to say, I never knew you. I wanted to know you. I wanted you to know me, but you don't know me, and I don't know you. So what we're after, it's easy to read through the Sermon on the Mount and come away with, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And here Jesus gives us a sober reminder that following Jesus is not about doing this and not doing that. But that following Jesus, first and foremost, is about knowing Him. And then, yes, obeying Him. But obeying Him out of a knowledge and a love that comes before obedience. So Jesus warns us against just this kind of external faith. Do this and do that. But then He warns us about something else, starting in verse 24, I think. Starting in verse 24. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. Thank you. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was that fall. I'll be good. Okay. So this is a different kind of warning here. This is another warning, but it's a different kind of warning. Because here the warning is not that maybe you have done without knowing Jesus first, but that you've sat at Jesus' feet, that you've listened to Him, you've taken in all He said in the Sermon on the Mount and other places, you've taken it in, and then you just sit on it. Oh, isn't it great that I now know what it looks like to follow Jesus? Isn't it great that I now know what it looks like to live as a part of the kingdom of God? Isn't that great? And you tell your friends, hey, let's study this together to see what it looks like to follow Jesus. But then you just sit and you hear, but you don't do. And Jesus says, no. If that's the case, you're just an idiot, right? You're foolish. You've heard what I've had to say, but what I have to say is all about what you need to do, what you ought to be doing with your life. And if all you do is listen to what I have to say without actually putting it into practice, you're foolish. Like a person who spends all this money to build this beautiful house on, and you forget to pour the foundation. And then it rains and the house just falls apart, falls over. Jesus says, no. Yes, I want you to listen. I want you to sit at my feet and to learn what it looks like to follow me, But then I want you to get up and to go and do it. To go and to do these things that I've been talking about, to put them into practice. And this is where he leaves his disciples, with this note that they are to get up and to go and to do. That they've listened, that they've heard, and the temptation now is to stay seated, or to ask for more, or to talk with people about what you've heard. And all of those things are good things in their place. But Jesus says, I want you to go. I want you to do. I want you to start living these things that I've been teaching. And as the people hear all that Jesus has said, verse 28, Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. These were things that they hadn't heard before. Jesus wasn't just re-saying things that had been said for years and years, things that were in the law that their teachers were talking about. Jesus was making some corrections to their thinking. He was painting a picture for what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God that was different than the people had expected, different than they had been accustomed to thinking about. And this left people astonished. Wow, here's a man who teaches not with the authority of our teachers, but with an authority that comes from himself in some way, which is to say, it comes from God through Jesus. When we hear Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, I hope that we too are amazed. Wow, look at this picture of life that Jesus lays out before us. What an amazing picture. There's things about it that maybe we had been thinking before, and maybe there's new things that we hadn't been thinking about. Maybe in this series there was something in one of the messages that you thought, you know, I've even read this passage before, but I missed this thing that Jesus was trying to do. This component of this invitation into life that Jesus was giving to me. And maybe we can take that away and put some of these things into practice. But, so, a good prayer for us, I think, to end this series on is from Psalm 139. This is a kind of prayer that I pray regularly, and one that I think is fitting for a series that we've been talking about, the way that Jesus wants us to live, the kind of lives that he wants us to lead. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This is what Jesus is talking about here. This is the two roads that Jesus has laid out. The one he's urging us to enter is a narrow gate, and it's a hard road, but it leads to life. And as we seek to journey down that road with Jesus, we want to pray, "Search me, O God, know my heart. See if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me into your everlasting way." As we read through the Sermon on the Mount, we get this picture of the life that Jesus intends for us. And if you're anything like me, as we've gone through this series, you're like, awesome, on board with it all, I love it, I'd love to do it, and I don't do it. And I can't do it. And I want to be up here, I want to meet the bar that Jesus is setting, but I find that over and over and over again, I fall short, and I end up down here. Well, it's a hard road. It's a hard road. Jesus acknowledges that. But just a few chapters later, Jesus gives us a word of encouragement for those of us that would journey towards life on this hard road. Matthew 11, 29 through 30, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's a hard road, But Jesus doesn't send us on that road alone. He walked that road before us. And now he's given us his yoke, which is easy. And the burden is light. And Jesus comes back to walk this road with us. He doesn't just send us out on our own. He walked it for us, and then he comes back, and by his Spirit, he walks it with us. So I want to end just with a prayer that Jesus would indeed walk with us, that he would lead us into this way of life that he's just told us about and invited us into. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us a picture of what it looks like to live life in the kingdom of God. Lord, we know it's a hard road. As we try to walk down this road, we trip and we fall and we stumble. Sometimes we wander onto the easy road because it's wide and it feels free and it feels fun. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would keep us on the narrow road. I pray that you would keep us fixated on you and on the life that you offer, the life that you are leading us into. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would walk with us, that you would give us power to walk this road, that you would change us, that you would mold us, that you would shape us, that you would teach us, and that you would send us out to do these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.